Okay, since we're learning Sanhedrin this year, I thought that it would be a good way to start our continue our series on Hakdamos of interesting and important Svarim is to do the Hakdama of the Rambam to Perek Chelek. The Rambam writes, the Rambam has some phenomenal Hakdamos that we must get to, Mirza Hashem, at some point throughout the series. We have to obviously get to the Hakdama to the Perish Mishnayis, and the other Hakdamos of the Rambam, they actually sell in a separate volume now, just the Hakdamos of the Rambam, the Rambam's Hakdamos to various Svarim. But the Rambam, one of the Rambam's famous Hakdamos is the Hakdama to Perek Chelek, which, for those of you who don't know, I imagine everyone knows, is the last Perek of Masech Sanhedrin, which has essentially 20 blats straight of Agadita. The Mishnah in Perek Chelek starts out, it's called Chelek because it starts, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Li'olam Haba. That every Jew has a chelek in Olam Haba. Shneamar v'ameich kulam tzadikim li'olam yirshu aretz netzer mata'ai ma'asei yadai lihispa'er. Fine, and then right after it says, Kol Yisrael Yishem chelek li'olam Haba, the Mishnah goes on to say, but by the way, ve'elu she'enlem chelek li'olam Haba. These are the people that they didn't make a song out of that part. They only make a song out of the first part, but there are these are the people that don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. And it starts listing people. Omer in Tchiyas HaMesem in HaTorah, in Torah Min HaShemayim, Apikores, Rebbe Kiva Marav Kor Bisfar Mechitzonim, Aloch Shalomaka, etc. It goes through people who perhaps do not have a chelek in Olam Haba. So this is where the Rambam, the reason why this Hakdama is famous, in addition to all of the profound ideas the Rambam says, at the end of the Hakdama, the Rambam formulates what are the Yud Gimel Ikarei HaEmunah, the 13 things that a person must believe in Judaism to avoid being an apikores. And obviously the starting point is that the first Mishnah says apikores. So apikores, what's that? What's an apikores? How do you define what's an apikores? So that's perhaps the most clearly the most famous part of the Hakdama to the Rambam Perek Chelek. But before the Rambam gets there, he says a lot of other things that are also extremely valuable. We're not going to read the whole thing inside, obviously. It's fairly long. It's printed in the back of your Gemaras, and I gave you a copy on as few pages as possible by photocopying it from the back of the Gemaras, which has a lot of small words on a large page, so you're able to get it in 3 pages. But the Rambam starts out by saying that he wants to talk about what the idea, the Jewish concept of schar va'onesh is. Because a person could read the Torah and get a very wrong impression of what the goal is. You know, we want to keep our eyes on the prize. When we're practicing Jews, we're being Oved Hashem, there's a goal, there's something we're trying to accomplish. So what is it? What is the great schar that we get for doing mitzvah? So you read the Torah, so Nasati Gishmechem Beitam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it rain, and we'll have food, and we'll have peace, and, you know, Vishpati Chayera Min Haaretz, and, you know, nice things like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward us physically, materially, and that's what it sounds like if you read the Torah. So the Rambam says, on the other hand, we're all familiar with the concept that there is such a thing called Olam Haba. We're also familiar with the concept that there is such a thing called Yemos HaMashiach. So it's a little bit difficult for people to figure out what exactly is the ultimate good. What are we working toward achieving? So the Rambam says that there are 5 different groups of people that have different opinions about what it is that we're working toward. What is the good that we are hoping for and that we are working toward as Jews? If you look inside the Rambam in the editions that I have photocopied for you here, they bolded the words Kas Rishona, Kas Shnia, Kas Lishas, Kas Revias, Kas Chamishas, the 5 groups. So the first group, he says, Soveres believes Ki Atova Hu Gan Eden, that the ultimate good is Gan Eden. What is Gan Eden? V'chihu makom sha'ochlim v'shosimbo. It's a place where we go and we eat and we drink. Mibli amel aguf, and we don't even have to work hard. We don't have to put in 16-hour days to be able to make a good salary. V'shiyesh l'sham batim me'avanim tovos, and we're going to have nice houses made out of Jerusalem stone, umitos mutzos b'meshi, and we're going to have silk beds, v'naharos moshchos yayin u'shmanim uvusamim, and there will be rivers, except the rivers will not just have water, there will be rivers that have water also probably, but the rivers, there are going to be rivers that have wine and good oil, and all sorts of delicious, amazing things, and that's Gan Eden. That's the best. That's what we're really, it's literally Gan Eden. That's what we're working toward. And on the flip side, if things don't work out so well for us, v'chi hara'a hu gehenim. That's gehenim. What's the bad? What's gehenim? Hu makom boer ba'esh, shebo sorfin agvios. It's a place where they burn bodies. And umitzarim sham bnei adam b'minei atzar v'ino yaruch sipuram. And they take notes from all sorts of corrupt governments about how to torture people, and they torture people in unimaginable ways you can't even speak about. That is what Ganem is all about. It's a massive torture chamber. So good is rivers flowing with wine and oil. Bad is torture chamber. So he says this, and this group brings rayas from Chazal, from Psukim, that seem like they're actually saying this. That seem like they actually that this is actually what we're really working towards. Group two, says the Rambam, second group, Akasa Shnia, believes that no, the good that we're hoping for is Yemos HaMashiach Meher Yigala. Yemos HaMashiach, who should Amir Hashem come very soon. And what's going to happen at Yemos HaMashiach? So he says, "V'chibaos ha'zman yubnei adam kulam malachim, kulam chayim v'kayam la'ad." What's going to be really cool about Yemos HaMashiach is not going to be rivers flowing with wine and oil, but we're going to live forever, and we're going to be angels. And that's going to be a lot of fun. V'yagbiyu b'kamasim, and we're going to be really tall. V'yirbu v'yatzmu ad sheyoshivu kol ha'olam la'ad, and we're going to, you know, multiply and become stronger, you know, to the point that we're immortal. And that's the ultimate good. What's the ultimate bad? The ultimate bad isn't a torture chamber. It's not being able to get there. It's missing out on that experience. That's the ultimate bad. So that's the second group. This group too has rayas from Chazal and rayas. They bring all sorts of mamarim, etc. Group three, says the Rambam, is ki atova shenekav tchias hamesim. The ultimate good is when we come back to life. That a person who dies and comes back to life, and when he comes back to life, he gets to spend time with his family, with long-lost relatives that died many years ago. The question is, they come back to life at the age that they died, or they come back to life at the age, right? They come back to, somehow it would be a little weird, like if you're still alive, and then, you know, Yael Tzeidi died when he was, you know, younger than you. So I don't know. So anyway, so that's the kind of question the Rambam says morons ask. By the way, the Rambam's not a fan of those kinds of questions. Anyway, so the ultimate good is experiencing tchias hamesim, and hara'ah is not experiencing tchias hamesim, and they bring rayas to that as well. It's unbelievable how much time the Rambam spends describing things that he thinks are patently wrong. Right? The Rambam's going to say this is all wrong. This is just all a terrible mistake. Fourth group of mistaken people believe that the ultimate good is menuchas haguf v'asagas hataivos ha'olamios ba'olam hazeh, to live a really good life in this world, to be able to have everything, live in peace, have a lot of wealth, have health, family, have a Jewish malchus over Eretz Yisrael, not have any problems with our enemies. That's good. Bad, the ultimate ra'a, is when we're sent into galus, when we reject the Torah, like we are hayom bizman hagalus, and like we are now in Rachmanel Tzlan in galus, that's the ultimate bad, and that is our continuous punishment for not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says the fifth group, the fifth mistaken group is that v'hem harbe mechabrim ha'inyanim ha'ela kulam va'omrim. Ki hatocheles hu sheyavo haMashiach v'yichya amesim v'yichnasu l'gan Eden. Sort of a combination group. The fifth group, and he says, and this is a lot of great rabbis are in this group, believe that the ultimate good is Mashiach coming, tchias amesim, and going into Gan Eden, and there eating and drinking to our heart's content, forever and ever. So it's sort of like a combination of everything else. That's the ultimate good. Says the Rambam, let me explain to you. This is all a terrible mistake. He says this leads to kinds of silly conversations like, hey, what's Tchias HaMesim really going to be like? What kind of clothing are you going to get up with in Tchias HaMesim? Are you just going to be wearing your tachrichin? Or like, will they give you nicer clothing that you'll get up in? Are you going to be undressed? How exactly is that going to work when we get up? Is there going to be rich people and poor people after Tchias HaMesim? Are there going to be weak people and strong people after Tchias HaMesim? All those kinds of questions are asked because people are focused on one of these five groups. Meaning people are they ask all these silly questions because they're focused on the wrong thing. Tchias HaMesim is not the end all. It's not what it's all about. It exists. It's not what it's all about. What is it all about, says the Rambam? So he says, let me give you a mashal. And I'll explain with this mashal, the Rambam says, not just what it's all about, but why so many people make this mistake. So the reason they make this mistake is because they have Mamari Chazal all over the place that describe Tchias HaMesim and Gan Eden and peace and harmony and eating from rivers flowing with wine. There are Mamari Chazal about all these things. There are Psukim and Navi about a lot of these things. So that's why they make the mistake. Elamai, but says Ram, wait a second. But if there are Mamari Chazal about it, so then what's wrong with it? Why are Chazal misleading us? If all this is wrong. So he says, I'll give you a mashal. Let's say you have a young child. The mashal is beautiful to read in the lashon of whoever translated this Rambam. But he says you have a young child, let's say. And the young child, you want him to learn. So what does a kindergarten pre-1A Rebbe do when he wants to get the kids to learn? What does he have? Candy. He gives them candy. Kids like candy. So they learn. This Rebbe is the best Rebbe. He gives us a soda. I've heard that, right? That's each of my kids have said at given points in time. So that's great. And when they get a little bit older, what makes the Rebbe the best Rebbe? He gave us 5 minutes extra recess. Because the candy didn't do it for them. Then they realized they could break into the pantry at home and bring more candy than the Rebbe's ever going to bring for them. So now that, but recess the parents can't give them, right? That only the Rebbe can give them. So that makes the Rebbe the best Rebbe. And then the child gets a little older. It's interesting, the progression that the Rambam says is that he gets a little bit older and he realizes that it's nourish and zachen to have candy and to have. So you start. What do you give him? You give him clothing. You give him nice shoes and nice shirts, and that's how they bribe him. You do well, and I'll buy you that new football jersey that you've been asking for, or whatever. And to him, like, oh, that football jersey, that'll be the coolest kid, and I'll have that. And then at a certain point in time, the Rambam assumes. People grow out of that, by the way. The Rambam assumes that at a certain point in time, it's a little odd for an adult to be wearing a football jersey. So that's not going to be the motivator in your life. So at a given point in time, so you start telling him, look, if you learn really well and you become a Talmud Chacham and everyone starts, they'll call you up at weddings and they'll say Rosh Yeshiva, they'll say Rav HaGoyim, they'll stand for you. I mean, it's not so bad, you can get used to that kind of thing. It's and that will make you love it so much that will inspire you, because kavod, everyone wants kavod. That's every man at least wants kavod. Everyone wants to be honored. So that's what the Rebbe will say at that point in time. Why are you really learning though? Like why is it really important to learn? Is it because is candy the inherent value of the learning? It's pasha to the 8-year-old already that candy is not the inherent value of the learning. Is the clothing the inherent value of the learning? It's pasha to the 15-year-old that the clothing is not the inherent value of the learning. Is kavod the inherent value of the learning? Hopefully at some point in our lives it becomes pasha to us that kavod is not the inherent value of the learning. So the Rebbeim lied to me. They told me I get candy. They told me I get kavod. They weren't lying to me. I do get those things. But those things were just they were the carrot. They were the thing that I needed to put in front of me to motivate me to do the right thing because it's right. The ultimate good in child school experience is the education that he's going to get at the end of the day. Or the friendships that are made also, the various things of real value that we get throughout our school years. Elamai, we need to be pushed along with other things that obviously aren't really all that important in the grand scheme of things. So the Rambam says, that's what Chazal are doing over here. What are Chazal going to tell us? You know what you get if you learn Torah? You get closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you tell it to a 3-year-old. Oh, I don't even know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. My 2-year-old points at pictures of Rebbeim on the wall. She thinks Rav Shechter is Hashem. She points and she says, oh, is that Hashem? No, that's not Hashem. He's very close to Hashem, but that's not Hashem. So they have no idea. What do you get? You can describe to them. You get closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even when we mature a little bit, we don't even know what it means. We don't know what the Metzius is of a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says the real reason we learn is because learning itself and Avodas Hashem itself is inherently valuable. It is the ultimate good that one can experience in this world. But we don't always see it right away. So Chazal give us, and the Torah gives us all these other things. Yeah, you'll get peace, but that's a joke. That's the candy you're giving to the kindergartner. It doesn't really mean anything. It's just it's true, but it doesn't mean anything. What the inherent value is Torah l'shma, is learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah because it is MS. And connecting to MS, that's the ultimate good. The Rambam writes, that's what it means, that ultimately a person is not supposed to make the Torah, na Torah l'skadalba, a kardom lachborba. It does work. It works as na Torah l'skadalba. It works as a kardom lachborba. It works as something that you can get covered from, that you can make a parnasa from. It does work. But the point is, that's not the goal of the learning. The goal of the learning has to be lishma. And that's why the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Al tiyu kavadim ha-misham shnes raval menas lekabel pras. What? Do we not believe in schar v'onesh? When I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I shouldn't believe that I'm being mekabel pras? Of course I have to believe I'm going to be mekabel pras. That's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises schar v'onesh. So no, it means we don't do it because of Kabbalah's pras. We do it me'ava, because when we reach that level, when we're ready for that, we should do it me'ava, we should do it because we want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midrashim say, b'mitzvosav chafetz ma'od, Rambam quotes, Amar Rav Lazar, b'mitzvosav velo b'schar mitzvosav. What is it that we want so badly? We want the mitzvos, not the schar mitzvos. The mitzvos themselves have the inherent value. It's not the schar mitzvos that we're looking for. And he quotes the Sifri, Shema Tomar, lest a person say, Hare ni lama Torah b'shvil she'ya ashir, b'shvil she'akra rav, b'shvil she'akabal schar b'olam haba. Lest a person say, you know why I'm going to learn Torah? Because I want to be rich. First of all, it ain't going to work. Then he says, I want to learn Torah because I want to be called a rav. I want to be called a rabbi. So that could work. I want to learn Torah because I want Olam Haba. The Rambam says all three of those are mistakes. If you would ask the average, the average Jew, the average Orthodox Jew, which of these are mistakes for a person to do? To serve Hashem to be a rabbi, to serve Hashem to be rich, or to serve Hashem for Olam Haba? And probably most people would tell you, well, serve Hashem for Olam Haba, that's the right thing. The other things are not appropriate. The Rambam says, no, none of it's appropriate. You don't serve Hashem for Olam Haba. Tamalom la'ava as Hashem Elokecha. Kol shatem osim lo tasu elamei ava. Now, the Rambam makes it very clear that he's describing an ideal. He's not describing how most people grow as B'nai Torah. And to the contrary, to grow as B'nai Torah, we need those other things to motivate us at certain stage in our life. But our growth shouldn't be stunted once we get to the Olam Haba stage. I remember at certain points in my life when I was making crucial decisions, I was thinking, well, he said, what's going to get me more Olam Haba? That was like my cheshbon. But that's hopefully at this stage in my life, I should realize that's a krum cheshbon. It's not what's going to get me more Olam Haba, it's what's going to make me closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's a very, very different cheshbon. What's going to give me more of the ultimate good in life, which is the greater Avodas Hashem. Very important that we think in terms of Hashem. Rabbi Kamenetsky made a big point amongst the Rebbeim, the DRS Rebbeim, that we have to talk about Hashem more. That, you know, instead of talking about learning, we should talk about learning Hashem's Torah. Instead of talking about davening, we should talk about davening to Hashem. You know, instead of talking about, you have a decision to make, what's the right thing to do, what does Hashem want me to do? We should bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the conversation. He said he was speaking to a manal from a different yeshiva, and he didn't say who the manal is. I have a couple of guesses, but he said he was speaking to a manal from a different yeshiva, and the other manal said, nah, that's creepy. Who, you know, that makes me very uncomfortable, talking about Hashem so much. What are we here for? What are we doing? We're serving Hashem. That's what we do. You have a question? No? Okay, so the Chachamim realized wisely people are not on that level to hear that. You know, that could not be the first Musar Shmuz of kindergarten, that you shouldn't care about the candies and you shouldn't get, right? That should not be the Shmuz. And therefore they speak to us on a level that we understand. And they say, you know, if they were to just tell us, oh, the Torah says, why can't I do it? Because the Torah says. Why do I want to do this? Because the Torah says. That's not going to be enough. I want to know that I could do it because you're going to give me a very good chocolate bar. That's okay. That's something that the child can relate to. Before we do any action, generally speaking, that's the way we make decisions in life, the Rambam writes. You know, you make a decision, should I do something? What do? We, if we're making an informed decision, we try to weigh the risk and reward. What do I stand to lose? What do I stand to gain? And that's why the Torah speaks to us on our level, because that's the way we typically make decisions. But that's not the way we're supposed to make decisions in Avodas Hashem. And hopefully that's what the Gemara means in Pesachim. It says, V'olam yasak adam Torah mitzvah afpi shelo lishma, shemitach shelo lishma ba lishma, that you learn the shelo lishma, and then ultimately it comes to a point of lishma. Then the Rambam, because Chelek is all about Agaritas, so he says, okay, now that we know what the goal is, what the prize is, let's discuss what our attitude should be toward learning Agaritas. And he says, this also I find, the Rambam writes, I find a lot of people make terrible mistakes about. And also over here, he has a Kas Rishona, Kas Shnia, and Kas Shlishis. Three groups of people, not five, but he has three groups of people. First group, he says, look at Ma'amari Chazal at Agaritas, and they see everything as being literal. Everything is what it says. Oh, it says that a demon was juggling 70 cups of wine. That means that if you look really closely, there's going to be a demon somewhere juggling 70 cups of wine. Whatever. Everything is literally exactly what it sounds like. That's the way they look at Chazal. What if someone is going to say, what do you mean? But that's not true. It's against science. It's against reality. It's against the Metzius. So people will say, this group of people will say, Apikursim! Against? What do you mean against Ma'amari Chazal? How could you say such a thing? And he says, such a people think they're giving the ultimate cover to Chazal. They say, oh, Chazal, whatever they say is, you have to take it at face value. He says, ultimately, it's the ultimate denigration of Chazal. Because they make Chazal look like fools. They make Chazal look like they're saying things. A lot of Agaritas couch things in such a way, phrase things in such a way, that they're like little riddles or mishalim. They're clearly not meant to be taken at face value. There's clearly a much, much deeper message. But if you're not, the Rambam understands, people who don't study philosophy are not intellectually developed enough to understand that and to see the depth. So if you're not able to see that depth and you're not able to appreciate it, so you bring Chazal down to your level. Everything I say is Pshuto Kimashmao. I don't speak in riddles. I speak in... So Chazal must speak in the way I speak, and therefore they say a whole bunch of things that if you were to ask any intelligent person, they would tell you is complete foolishness. So they're trying to give a cover to Chazal, but they're really just a bunch of unsophisticated fools. That's the Rambam's, and the Rambam uses even stronger Lashonos, and he says, you should think about the fact that the Torah tells us that when people see Klal Yisrael, they're supposed to say, Rak Am Chacham V'Navon Hagoy HaGadol Azeh. Look what a wise and understanding and deep people we are. And he says, you know what people say when they look at this first group? They say, Rak Am Sachel V'Naval Hagoy HaKatan Hazeh. Look at this horribly foolish, stupid people, this tiny little nation of stupid people that are so primitive in their thinking, that are so backward in their thinking, when they take all the Divrei Chazal literally. So the Rambam offers a little tefillah that people who look at Agados of Chazal in this way should have the koach to keep their mouth shut and to not hold public drushas and to not share their ideas publicly, because it just brings denigration to the Torah. Then the Rambam says there's a second group of people. Second group of people says, well, what Chazal say is very primitive, and a lot of these Agaritas are very strange and sound crazy, so Chazal were a bunch of primitive fools because these people don't understand the depth of what Chazal are saying. So instead of saying, oh, whatever Chazal say is right, and it's a pshuto kemeshmo, and otherwise it's apikorsus, they go to the other extreme. They say, oh, Chazal obviously had no clue what they were talking about. And that group, he says, are even bigger fools than the first group. Because think about the halachic gemaras you learn. The Rambam doesn't say it this way, but think about the halachic gemaras you learn in Shas. Think about how much work it takes to really plumb the depths of the Havayos Tabayi V'Rava. What went on in their minds? Just what towering geniuses these people were. Yeah, so you're willing to do that when you see the halachic gemaras in Shas, and then as soon as you get to the Agadita, those very same people all of a sudden turn into the biggest fools in the world. So what kind of fool are we to assume such a thing? How could you look at people who wrote this incredibly in-depth legal code, which has incredible wisdom and insight, and as soon as it comes to Agadita, where they spoke in a slightly different language, those very same Tanaim Bamaraim, all of a sudden they're a bunch of primitive fools. So he said, that's even stupider than the first group. So he said, that group is also a terrible group. They're even bigger fools. They're completely blind to how little they understand. So they berate the greatest minds in the history of the world. So then the Rambam says, then there's a third group that really gets it. But he says, it's hard to call them a group because there are so few people in it. This third group that really understand, that really get it, that really know what Chazal is all about. And he says, that group appreciates that Chazal spoke in Mishalim a lot of times. That Chazal, for whatever reason, some of the most important ideas, some of the most lofty ideas and hashkafos in Judaism were not given in a Pashut language. They were given in a much more esoteric language, perhaps so that not every fool could pick it up and understand it. Perhaps so that it could be reserved for a select few who are ready for it. Or maybe for other reasons. Rabbi Aaron Feldman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, has a beautiful book where he goes through, in English, some of the Gruz interpretations of Agadita. Gemara is called the Juggler and the King. And in his introduction to the Juggler and the King, he explains how to view Agadita. And he basically says over what this Rambam says, that you have to view Agadita in the way that Chazal were saying things that were very deep, much like Shlomo HaMelech did in a lot of his writings. And Shlomo HaMelech writes at the beginning of Mishlei, "Lahavin Mashal Melitza Divrei Chacham V'Chidosam," that you have to understand a certain style to be able to get it. And that's the whole style of Mishlei, it's the whole style of Shir Hashirim, it's the whole style of Koheles. I remember when I was in Israel once and they were reading Koheles. So in America, when they're reading Koheles, no one understands anything that's going on anyway because it's not English. So people are just, you know, falling asleep. In Israel, it's their language. So a bunch of people are like laughing. I remember actually hearing people giggle at certain parts of Koheles. Like, you know, that's so funny. But like, what it is Shlomo HaMelech saying like these trite, you know, little sound bites, or what sounds like trite little sound bites, but have so much depth when you're able to really analyze it, and you're able to go into the depths. Shlomo HaMelech wrote that way, and Chazal wrote that way. So the Rambam writes at this point in his Perish to Parachelek, he says, okay, now, if you're in one of the first two groups, please put the book away. Stop reading now. Don't read any more of Parachelek. It's just going to be a disaster. Just stop learning. If you're in the third group, okay, then we can sit and talk, we can sit and learn. So he says it's like taking a person who's very unaccustomed to the finest foods and and just giving them very, very delicious fine foods where they're going to say, oh, it tastes like chicken. You know, they're not going to get it, they're not going to understand it, they're not going to appreciate the taste. I remember the mashal I always give is I used to not like sushi because it just grossed me out a little bit, but like I can't imagine a world where I wouldn't like sushi. You know, it's like once you get to appreciate it, it's like a whole different thing. If you would have given it to me then, I would have thought it was disgusting because I just wasn't used to it. Once you become used to certain finer things in life, so you begin to appreciate them and they mean something to you. So the Rambam says that's the same thing with, obviously Lahavdil, but that's the same thing with Agadus of Chazal. If you're not used to a certain intellectual appreciation of something that's truly deep, so, you know, it's just not for you. It's not healthy to learn Agadita then. The Rambam says, okay, so now let's go back to Olam Haba. We have a basic problem in describing Olam Haba to people. We start Parakalitzol Yeshem Chelik Olam Haba. Basic problem describing Olam Haba to people is a blind person doesn't understand color. You tell a blind person, oh, you got to see this. If only you could see this, it's blue. What does blue mean to a blind person? He has no idea what the concept, he can't relate, assuming he was born blind. He can't relate to the concept. You try to describe to a fish, if the fish had the intelligence to talk to you, you try to describe to a fish fire, how fire works. What do you mean fire? He has no shaychus to fire. It's just that deaf people don't understand music. They can't understand sound. So we just don't have the kelim to understand. He says, you're going to describe Olam Haba. Our experience in this world is such that we can't possibly relate to Olam Haba. So to describe what Olam Haba is, it's beyond our capacity. It's not something we can relate to in any way. I remember in one of Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan's books, I think in Encounters, in the beginning of the book Encounters, I remember when I was on a tiyul in Karen Biavna, we were in Eilat, so I brought along that book and I loved it. So one of the things that he says is that the mashal he gives is trying to tell if you were to be able to speak to a fetus inside the mother's womb and say to the fetus, listen, it's going to be awesome. You're going to be able to eat food with your mouth. All you got to do is just cut that little cord that's connecting you at the belly and you'll be able to eat food and breathe. If he was like, well, you're not touching that cord, right? That's how I live. That's how I, you know, I don't know what this is with air and food that you're talking about. I never, like, he wouldn't be able to relate to it. This is his lifeline. That's all he knows. He doesn't know anything about air and food and any of these things. But once he experiences it, wow, can you imagine? I mean, Rahman al-Islam, there are people that live their whole life, you know, on feeding tubes and they don't get to experience the joy and the pleasures of life and the freedom of being able to breathe on your own and walk around and move around and eat. And they don't get to experience those things. It's living on a different level. So that's what Olam Haba is to us. You try to explain to us, oh, it's going to be Tzadik Yoshem, it's Rosheim Barosheim. Well, we don't understand what we're even talking about. It doesn't resonate with us. Says like, you know, as children love to play ball. Right, so children like to play in the streets or whatever it is, whatever, let's say, a king doesn't play ball in the streets with children. Well, nowadays it's not really true. Nowadays, like, it's a good photo op. But it used to be that a president or a king wouldn't, because he's got bigger things to enjoy in life. He has that's a child's enjoyment. He has adult's enjoyment now. He has other things that he gets to enjoy. He's just at a totally different stage. So the Rambam writes, even in this world, our neshamos are attuned enough that we're able to appreciate, most people are able to appreciate, when you really pin them down and ask them about it, that physical desires, physical pleasures, are a lower level pleasure than emotional / spiritual pleasures. Most people get more pleasure out of a sense of being loved, a sense of camaraderie, all of these kinds of, a sense of closeness with the Ribono Shel Olam, any of these very fulfilling emotional, spiritual kinds of experiences are much more pleasurable than a good piece of chocolate cake or than a good steak. Not that the good steak isn't pleasurable, it is very pleasurable. But even in this world, we already, our neshamas are already there a little bit, that we get it. We understand that there's something more. People want money, not so much because people want to be able to spend all their money. People who have more money than they could ever spend still want more money. When athletes, go for bigger contracts, I once heard on the radio, someone was describing the mentality of an athlete who, their last contract was $250 million or whatever it was. Derek Jeter's last contract was $189 million, I think the number was. And he was fighting tooth and nail that fourth year, I needed $20 million a year, not $14 million a year. The guy's got more money than God. I mean, he's got, what's he going to do with that money? He can never spend it. But it's the covet. Because when you're the highest paid, that means that they respect you. It has nothing to do with the money. It has more to do with the covet that's associated with the money. People understand that. And it's a busha to be given less money, because then it shows that you're not being valued. And that's the real hana'a. So the Rambam writes, when Chazal tell us, Olam Haba, Ein Bo Lo Achila, Ve Lo Shtiya, Ve Lo Rechitza, Ve Lo Sicha, Ve Lo Tashmish Amita, Olam Haba doesn't have eating, doesn't have drinking, there's no bathing, there's no nice ointments to put on your body, there's no Tashmish Amita. Ela Tzadikim, Yoshim, Mitroseim, Brashim, Venenim, Mizivashchina, it's a bunch of Tzadikim sitting around with their crowns on their heads, enjoying the Zivashchina, the splendor of the Shchina. That's the ultimate good. The ultimate good is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is being able to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. The ultimate bad is to be cut off from that good. So the Rambam is trying to tell us, look, we don't know what that means. It's like we said, trying to describe to the fetus what it means to eat and to breathe. But what we do know is that even within this world, the things that give us the most pleasure are emotional and spiritual things. So can you imagine, just imagine a spiritual pleasure that dwarfs any spiritual pleasure we have in this world. Just think of it that way. And then maybe we could begin, the tip of the iceberg, begin to understand what exactly is so great about being close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a sense of fulfillment, a sense of belonging, a sense of knowing who I am and where I belong, and feeling that I'm a part of something much bigger than myself, which is, by the way, the ultimate kavod, the ultimate pleasure, to feel like you are participating in something, you are an important cog in something that's much, much bigger than you. The Rambam writes that the more one attaches himself to the physical, the further removed he becomes from that pleasure of Olam Haba. The further he removes himself from that ultimate good. Because we are a being that's made up of physical and spiritual, the more we emphasize the spiritual, emotional side, the more we're going to be ready and the closer we're going to be to having that ultimate good. The more we emphasize the physical side, the further away we are. Rambam writes, the rewards described in the Torah aren't the ultimate rewards. They are the tools with which to achieve reward. I think we've discussed this a few times in the past. When the Torah says, in b'chukosai teilechu, if you do what I say, you will get, and starts giving us a list of all sorts of gashmias, and that we're not going to have war, and we're not, that's not the reward. It's because if you want to achieve closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's much, much easier to do so if you're not distracted by having to fight wars, if you're not distracted by illness, if you're not distracted by difficulty with parnasa, all of those things, if you do the mitzvah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to pave the path toward me. I'm going to pave the path toward closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why I mentioned in Temin Halacha the other day, Shai Shechter told me, B'Shem Rav Asher Weiss, that why do we say L'David during Chodesh Elul? Because there's a Gemara in Tainus, to make a long story short, the Gemara in Tainus says you're not supposed to daven for multiple things. You can only daven for one thing at a time. So when you have a lot of things to daven for, find one thing that encapsulates everything else. So we're facing Yom Noraim. So what are we going to daven for? Health? Yes, I definitely want to daven for health. My children? Ooh, I really want to daven for that too. Parnasa? That's kind of important also. I want to daven for that also. Yeah, so what are you going to daven for? It's just so overwhelming. So what L'David does, it just gears us in the right direction. Ooh, you know what I want? I'm going to daven for one thing. To be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does that happen? When all of the distractions are moved out of the way. When all of the distractions and all the difficulties in life become so much easier to deal with or don't present themselves. And that means Parnas is taken care of, Rafu is taken care of, the children are taken care of. That's how we get to the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Rambam's Yesod. And he says, okay, now let me give you a little bit of information about each of the concepts that we spoke about at the beginning in terms of what people view as the ultimate good. So in Gan Eden, he says, is a place in this world that we don't know its location, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal it to those who deserve it, who deserve to enjoy it. Tchiyas HaMesim is something that every Jew must believe in, but it's only for tzaddikim. How to define tzaddik? We'll get to it. Well, not today. Yumos HaMashiach is Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Yumos HaMashiach Elishib Malchus Bilvad. Yumos HaMashiach is just like this world, except Shibin Malchus, except there's going to be peace. So that's where, you know, the wish of every Miss America that wants world peace, right? That's ultimately we get world peace in Yumos HaMashiach. But that's it. You still work for a living, you still got to work the land, there's still an economy, there's still rich people and poor people. It's just that there's going to be peace. Not everyone agrees to everything the Rambam says. I should have made that clear at the beginning. I'm presenting you what the Rambam writes in the Sakdamot to Perek Chelek. Not everyone agrees to everything the Rambam says. Olam Haba, the Rambam says, that's the ultimate good. That's Sadiq Nimyosh Mitzrosem Roshem Nenem Zivashchina. That's the connection we feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So our Mishnah starts, Elu Shein Lem Chelek Olam Haba. Someone who says, Ein Tchiyas HaMesu Min HaTorah, Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, and an Apikoras. The Rambam says, within those three categories, you find all 13 of the Ikarei Emunah. Apikoros is someone who denigrates the Torah and those who learn it. The Mishnah talks about Svarim Chitzonim, which are books that have chachmos that aren't really chachmos. The Rambam deems a complete waste of time reading facial lines, books about Arab kings and tribes. The Rambam thinks complete waste of time, not something intelligent people should be involved in. Should be more involved in philosophical works and the like. Lochei Shalamaka and Hoges Hashem Ba'os Yosef is also about Bizayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there are lesser Averos that Ein Lochelek Lo Maba. Even though they're lesser Averos, they're usually symptoms of something that's much, much bigger. Malm Pnech Aver Barabim, Ein Lochelek Lo Maba. I embarrass someone publicly. Is that really the ultimate denigration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But it says something about my character that's likely that act of halbanas p'nei chaver b'rabim, embarrassing someone publicly, is probably a symptomatic of something much, much greater going on inside of me. Kori l'chaver b'kinoi, mischabed b'klon chavero, all of these other ma'amari chazal, the Ram says, they all connect back to something bigger than themselves. The Ram concludes by giving his list of 13 ikarei emunah. I put them down on the page for you over here. We're not going to go through all of them now because of time constraints. The Rambam says you should know that when you read this Hakdama and you read the commentary to Perek Chelek, don't think it's good enough to read it once. The Rambam says, I didn't write this in a day. Put a lot of time into this, into thinking about these ideas, into studying these concepts. So don't think, if he has an interesting lashon, he says, don't think you can read it 10 times and understand what I'm saying. To really understand the depth of what I'm saying, you really need to go over this and toil in this and work in this and see all the Mamari Chazal that I'm talking about and understand. But this is the tip of the iceberg. That's what the Hakdama Shir is supposed to be about. It's about giving us the tip of the iceberg to wet our palates and hopefully give us an appreciation of the vastness of Torah that's out there.